Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Literary Weapons Podcast. I'm Joshua.
And I'm Liv.
And I'm Land.
And yeah, so Land's back again by popular demand. And I'm just going to go and save the time. Land's drinking Corona again. Refuses to
Say it.
get a bottle of wine.
See, you catch me at the worst times with the bottles of wine because usually it's the night before something else I'm drinking one. This happened last week, I think.
Yeah. I'm drinking, let's see, Phil. Tooth and Nail. There we go. The Possessor. I bought it because it's a cool bottle. It
Show
has
that
a
bottle again.
This camera's not very good. Let's see if I can get it close. It has two eagles fighting over a snake on it. It looks really tough. That's the entire reason why I bought it. It's actually pretty good. I would give this all like 1.5 thumbs up.
Is it a cab? Or is it
It's
a
actually a
Pinot?
blend. It is 19% or no, 79% cab, 12% Syrah, 6% Malbec, and 3% Verdot.
I've never been a big fan of blends, personally.
I like some blends. Kind of
I might. I
depends.
don't think I've ever really had a good one, though.
Yeah, it. I mean, this was like a $28 bottle of wine, so
Oh, that's
it's
pretty good.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Show Land your bottle because your bottle's sick.
That bottle is really cool. So this is Koenig Vineyard.
Ooh.
There you go.
Vineyard and winery,
Words
and
are
it's a
hard.
Sauvignon Blanc, but
That's
you
cool.
look through the bottle and it has a picture on the label on the opposite side.
Yeah, see, I've seen some bottles like that. Those are cool.
That's
Yeah.
hard. We're saving that bottle, by the way, not throwing that thing away.
I gotta start getting back into white wines, like good white wines.
I really like that one. Like, I
really?
rated that one a 4.2 on the wine app.
We did.
Like
I do like that app a lot.
Yeah, I would drink that white wine like as like a daily driver.
Easy now.
Yeah. Don't drink and drive, kids. So today we were talking about the recent movie that came out, Poor Things, with Emma Stone. I did not look up the director, but it won a lot. I think it won what, like 5 Oscars?
I think it won 8.
8?
It won 8 awards. I don't know if it was. I might have won 5 Oscars and 3 of something else, but I think I'm
It
pretty
was the
positive.
Golden Globe, or not the Golden Globes. There was something
Okay.
else that they won.
I forgot the other awards. Because a Tony is for a musical.
Dude, it won a shit ton of awards.
Yeah.
I mean, like the big, it won, all right, so it won 2 Golden Globes, Academy Best Actress, Best Actress Leading Role,
I think it got like
Critics Choice Awards for Best Actress.
I think it got the Oscar for production design and costume design as well. Which I think those two are definitely rightfully won.
What was the first one again?
Production design.
Yeah.
Like the backgrounds in the cinematography, dude.
I mean, to me, it just looked like a freaking play set.
Land, that's the whole point.
I know,
Land.
I know. And I just think that's just the easiest like thing you could have done. And I just don't think it deserves to win that.
But it was done so well. Like, it was a what?
It was
Who
almost like
did?
Les Mis kind of deal.
No.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Who's the guy that did Horton Hears a Who?
I don't fucking know.
Tim
You
Burton.
did say that
Yeah.
during the movie.
It's very Tim Burton-y to me. And I feel like that's, if you like Tim Burton, you'll like the production design on this, but if you don't like, did you like well, Scissor Finger Guy?
Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah.
I can't even remember the movie hardly.
See, I see that in this is very similar. Actually, like almost eerily similar now that I'm thinking about the plot of Edward Scissorhands. About like the
I faintly
themes.
remember it. Yeah, I guess it does to an extent from what I remember from Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. So let's just start off, Lynn, did you like it?
Don't know. Because, I mean, look, up until like closer towards the end, I was a hard no, right? Towards the end, I was kind of debating on if I liked it or not. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But
Liv, did you like
the
it?
ending was pretty good.
Yeah. Liv, did you like it?
I did. Shocker there to nobody.
I don't know, dude.
I'm somewhere in between you two, where I'm not sure if I liked it, but I'm edging on the answer of yes, but I'm still not positive.
It's a tough one. It was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely weird.
So,
I was reading all the articles and they're like putting words in there like quirky, you know,
quirky.
funny. And I'm like, that doesn't even like do it
I mean,
any good.
I'll give it. There are some points that I kind of giggled at. Like, what's his name's character? Paul,
Wedderburn.
yeah, he cracked me up every now and
You
again. I
talk about
did.
Hulk, freaking Bruce Banner.
Lay in the woods, son. Oh, dear
Dude,
God.
him and his little mustache and hat combo, and
Dude,
then just laying it down. That was,
oh, hell yeah.
I did not need to see
His name's like Paul
Hulk.
Ruffalo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Mark Ruffalo. I did not need to see Hulk getting down and dirty.
Beating the Doonies down, son.
Yeah, for
Getting
like
after
20
it.
minutes.
There was at least 10 scenes of it.
Yeah. I just have never considered Mark Ruffalo in that way. Like, he's one of those actors where, like, I just don't think of him having sex. And then to just see it.
And he's the man, too,
Yeah.
apparently. he's a pretty good actor,
Oh, he's a great actor. I don't see him as a sexual being.
though. There's a lot of sex in this movie. He
There's a
fucking,
lot of sex.
dude, hold on, one of the first scenes in the movie really threw me off when they're in the operating room and she grabs a knife and just starts going, freaking, what's that? You
Into
know what I'm
that
talking
dude's
about?
eye?
Little ee
Yeah.
into his eye. Dude, I was not expecting that. First, she grabs his dick, and I was like, "What is she about to cut his dick off?"
Yeah, I dude, that was weird.
But I
Also,
mean, like, she was mentally like a 3-year-old, so I
and
get it.
so the whole thing about introducing Mark Ruffalo's character and he just like assaults her
Oh
while
yeah,
she's like a 3-year-old
just
mentally.
starts fondling off the rip.
Like, dude, not even a hi, hello. It was just like,
The hi hello was not to her, it was on her.
yeah, that was
No,
rough.
it was to her hoo-ha, it wasn't to her.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. Oh my God. That made me uncozy in so many ways.
She's a prostitute, like pretty much like 13 or 12 mentally.
Yeah. I would say so. I think that's when that was her version of puberty, was when she became a prostitute.
I think there's some people that say that she was like maybe 17 when the prostitution started happening, but I
If
think she
that's the
was
case,
younger.
she was progressing slower up until that point. Is she just like,
Yeah, but we also don't know how much time has passed. too.
It wasn't
That's
that
not well.
long because they were in, it was only a couple months.
Yeah.
Because they were in, where was that? Where were they? Portugal for
Yeah,
maybe a
Lisbon.
month. The boat for 3 days. Then they were in Paris.
Yeah. So, yeah. I have a couple points of comparisons that I would like to make, and I want to see what y'all think about
Gotcha.
Obviously, this is a coming of age tale. From I would say like toddler to full adult, because you see her go from like basic speech to gaining motor skills, learning the difference between pleasure and pain, hitting puberty, kind of sexual awakening, rebelling from her parents or parent, gaining true independence, trying out new philosophies, being super naive in those new philosophies, experiencing true pain and loss, and then finding enlightenment by the end. I
Yeah.
think by the end of the movie, she's basically like an old geezer.
I
I
mean,
feel like
because
she
she's
is. I feel like she is even
aging
before the
so fast.
before she like before the movie's even over.
You think she's aging, like physically or mentally?
Mentally, I feel like she's already kind of like really old by the end of it.
Well, yeah, you got to think she's been thrown into adult situations since she was a toddler.
There is some hidden meaning behind this movie, and I was trying to figure it out the entire time I was watching it. I just there's something that they did that they wanted. There was a reason for it, right? And there was a reason why that all this happened, and there's got to be. I mean, I was the entire movie, I sat there racking my brain as the movie's going on, trying to figure it out, and I could not.
So I think there's a couple different interpretations of the movie. Liv, I know you're very excited to say one of your interpretations, so I'm going to go ahead and let you say it. I don't know what, I have an idea of what you're going to say, but
Okay, so I'm going to take the more feminist route of this and say that this movie was kind of, in Beli Baxter's experience, was like a woman experiencing the world and reacting to the world if she had no idea about social norms, expectations, and she just like starting from the bottom. Like, this is how women would be. You know, they would be searching for power, searching for sex, searching for all the things that men search for. But Bella doesn't have the idea in her head that she can't do anything because she's a girl. So that's mine.
I mean, I thought it was a route like that kind of pretty soon into it. That's what I kind of was thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't know.
Like it was kind
But
of like an empowerment kind of feel.
it is. It
Yeah.
really is. And it's
I
like
mean, that's what it seemed like.
she gains intelligence and like agency, you know.
But it's
The more
more
she
so
gains
than, I feel like it's.
that, the less the men love her, pretty much. Or Mark Ruffalo's character loves her.
Well, and Alfie,
Yeah.
her ex-husband. I don't see him.
It's technically still her husband.
Yeah, he's a fucking pig.
Is okay. I don't know if you can say that he's her husband slash ex-husband.
Is this not even her?
Yeah, it's like that's your child.
So, but she's not his child. She's somewhere in between. So, in my
Wait,
minor philosophy,
how is he not, how is she not her child?
so,
oh God, it's the boat thing. Take one
yeah,
board
it's
at a
the
time.
fucking ship of Theseus. We ride
Ah,
again. Ship of
in
Theseus
heaven.
pops up everywhere. I'm so excited. Bella is somewhere in between being the mother and the daughter. Since it's the body of the mother and the brain of the daughter, at what point does she like, what point does she stop being the mother?
As soon as the brain, as soon as the daughter's brain.
Well, it's dependent upon who you think you are, like
Are
what
you,
you think you are. Are you your body or are you your brain?
yeah, like is your identity dependent on all the parts of your body being the same?
Look, it's your brain.
Your brain is a part of your body. So if
Yeah.
do you draw your identity from your body and your brain being the same? Or like if you lose part of your body, do you lose your identity?
It's just like altered carbon, baby.
Yeah. Well, so Lynn, do you know what the ship of Theseus is?
No.
So it's if you have a boat and over the years you slowly replace every single board on the boat, and then with all the old pieces, you make another boat. Which one's the original?
Okay.
It's the same thing with Bella.
That is true.
Is she actually her mother? Because it's the body. All you did was put a new brain in there. Does that make her a new being? Or the second that you change something about it, does it change? Like, if you make one change to something, does it make it something completely new?
Lynn, there's no right answer.
I know. I'm
There is
sitting.
no right
I'm sitting
answer.
here pondering this right now.
That's what I was thinking. As soon as we found out about her brain getting swapped, I was like, oh my God, it's the ship. It's returning.
Josh brought this up on like maybe our like fifth or sixth date,
Oh,
and I was
really?
like, oh God,
I think it's one of
tough
my
questions right here, man.
favorite philosophical paradoxes.
That
I
is,
love it so much. There's
dude.
actually a I should have looked it up before this. There is a pretty big thing in metaphysics about brain swapping, and I had to write a pretty big paper on brain swapping. Completely forgot everything that I wrote in that paper. But yeah, it's a big thing in metaphysics on if you swap two people's brains, who's who. But yeah, all this to say, this is the best plot of any porn I've ever watched.
Jesus Christ, man. Oh.
Wrong.
Y'all,
I was
I will
engaged
agree with the
throughout.
amount of sex, Joshua Parker. The amount of sex in this movie, like, made
This
me
it
uncomfortable.
might have
And
been the most of it might
I'm
have
the girl boss that's like, do your thing, have that sex. Yeah. But
have that sex.
this Have that sex, yeah.
was a little too much. But at the
I mean,
same
this was
time, I feel like it was meant to be too much.
I'm oh yeah, without a doubt. Like this was by far, I think, the most I've ever seen in the movie.
Yeah.
Because you gotta think when she's a prostitute, there's like what, 10? No, there's not that many. What about the dude fucking running on all fours over there
Oh
with
my
his cock?
God. He was like a little spider. Like, da, 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 da.
He looked like fucking Smeagol in the face. Oh, he didn't like Smeagol, but he had like some kind of fucked up face.
Dude, oh my, he like crab walked too. Like he didn't just like do like a little bear crawl towards her.
How
He
about
was like,
this? God gave you a gift.
dude, he
Do you
was,
remember that part?
yeah, he was scuttling.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh.
Jesus. Oh, dude, you saw the big fat ass dude's ass when it was
Did you see the imprint of his pants on
raw.
him?
You guys were looking at the men.
Well, Liv, I was watching it with you, so I couldn't just stare at Emma Stone. I got to take in the whole scene.
was.
That was weird. I wouldn't have seen Emma Stone in that movie either doing that.
No,
No,
but I
this is
think
her most. It's provocative.
it is provocative. What
I
about
just
the
don't.
dude that brings his kids in to teach them a lesson on how to be a man?
She goes, "Oh,
That is, I
sometimes you just
just
gotta stick a
watched an
thing."
episode on Criminal Minds literally today. Literally watched an episode on Criminal Minds. One of those sons probably became a serial murderer.
Oh,
Oh.
it was the kid on the right that wasn't taking notes. It
Yeah,
was
the
just the
other
kid
kid was
just
like, "Huh?"
Yeah, she goes, "Sometimes you gotta choke him or stick a finger in his ass."
I
He
love
goes,
how,
"No." He goes, "No to the finger." She chokes him.
no.
And as soon as she goes, latches on, he's like,
"Oh,
dear God." And
Ah.
then she goes, "Sometimes you gotta choke him." The kid in the notebook goes, starts writing the note.
Big circle, exclamation point.
Choking. No finger in the ass. Oh
Maybe I
my.
should try it, question mark.
Oh God. I
Um,
was kind of glad to see the black girl back though at the end. I was like, oh, I liked her.
yeah,
Yeah.
a little socialist chick,
Yeah, I liked her.
comrade.
Yeah, that
I
was
love
a.
how she said comrade like the guy from Peaky Blinders.
I didn't even notice that, to be honest.
You know, like the one that dies off screen after season one. He's like, my comrades.
Yeah. No, you're talking about
Also,
that.
Lan, did you know that the Madame of the whorehouse was in Harry Potter?
Who was she in Harry
Yeah.
Potter? She
She's
was the lady
Harry, you've got to keep your wand out or whatever,
when
whatever
the
she said.
Dementors attack Harry
That
and
the second one?
no, I
No,
think it's the
that's
fifth one.
fifth.
She's
The fifth,
the
yep.
Yeah, the old lady,
I knew she looked familiar,
the old
but
lady that saves Harry from the Dementors and then
she's
shows
got
up
the
at his
tattoos
court.
all over her bed body.
Yeah, she shows up at his court appearance to act as like a character witness for him.
Huh.
Yeah, that was the Madame of the
What
whorehouse.
was with her biting people?
I don't know. That was
Yeah, I'm
weird.
not sure.
That was weird. Going for the lobes.
I'm kind of like just, I mean, I'm just, I'm like, I'm not, I just don't know what to think about what I just watched.
So I noticed something about halfway through the movie, and it made me really like it. This is the thing that's really fighting for me liking the movie. It is one of the most clear-cut hero's journey stories ever, to me at least.
Oh, this movie?
Yeah. This is the hero's journey.
She's
Just
a
in a
hero?
very, huh?
She's the hero?
Oh yeah, she's definitely the hero.
I don't know if it's the hero story. I
I
mean,
wrote notes
she's kind
of
of a psychopath at the same time.
she is, but she follows the hero's journey like right on the money.
Do
So
heroes, maim other people and turn them into mentally handicapped people.
So Bella Baxter follows the hero's journey. Number one, the call to adventure is when she says, go outside. The refusal to the call. McCandles and the doctor stop her. It's really more of an inadequacy of her to fight back, but it is still a refusal to the call for adventure. She meets the mentor, Wedderburn, who then gropes her. But he is still the mentor, aka the wizard or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Lord.
I don't like the comparison there, man, like, at all.
Like, I get it for the
Or
plot and,
Gandalf,
like, you know,
if
the
we're feeling
story.
frisky.
Gandalf's out here just touching
No.
Frodo and all of them. Yeah, for
No.
sure, man.
Don't put that in my mind.
Gandalf's out here touching little people.
Hey, man.
Jesus Iceland.
halflings.
The little people.
So then they cross the threshold going to Lisbon. She faces tests and trials by getting lost when Wedderburn takes a nap and she goes out by herself. She gets lost and she has to be in like fend for herself for the first time in her life. Then we approach the innermost cave. That is when they get on the boat and she begins to be basically opened up to different philosophies other than her home and Wedderburn
Right.
with the cynic and the old lady.
Like
There,
the Senate character a lot.
I really like the cynic character.
Me too.
And the innermost cave is really where the hero, in this case, Bella, is fighting with these inner demons, but it's not an open confrontation. It's the setup for that fight, that big deal. The ordeal, which I see as when they're in Alexandria and they see all the poor people, when the cynic takes her to sea, that is where she realizes the cruelty of man, where she has to come to the conclusion that not everyone has your best interest at heart. That's her ordeal. The reward for that ordeal is when she gives the money to the poor people. You know, that's I give her giving the money is part of her ordeal. That's her fighting back against the cruelty of man. She's rewarded by that with being kicked off the boat, and she finds her way to the whorehouse. I know what you're thinking. Being led to a brothel and resorting to prostitution is not a reward, but to Bella, it is because she gets to discover herself and how the world works. She's given freedom for the first time ever. She gets to
Ish.
make, huh?
Ish.
No, she gets to
Yeah.
make her own decisions. She
She just doesn't get
decides.
to pick the men that.
Yeah, but
But
she gets.
she gets to pick how it goes when they're in there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
she gets to make her own decisions for the first time in her life.
Which I feel like really wouldn't happen in a
No,
true brothel in France at that time period,
no. But that's her reward for going through the ordeal, is she gets true freedom for the first time in her life. So then she begins the road back home, which I see as her taking on all the clients to make the money. That's her road home. Because she's earning the money. She doesn't know it at the time, but she's earning that money to be self-sufficient. Then you have the resurrection, which is her coming back home, making it home, finding out about her husband or her mother's husband, however you want to look at it, and learning about her old life. So she almost comes back to life in the resurrection sense. Like she witnesses everything that had happened. And then she has a final return home, which is her seeing the doctor die, her father die, getting with McCandless.
The guy in the end. At first, not
And
so much.
then the 12th and final step is freedom. And I see that freedom as when they're all on the porch and Alfie, her piece of shit husband, is a goat.
That was.
And she gets to live however she wants. Boom, 12 steps of the hero's journey followed to a T. It's basically Star Wars.
Is a stretch.
Just a tiny bit. But I get it. I get it. And yeah. Literarily. Because I mean, it was a book, right?
I don't know. Let
Let
me
me
look
look
that
that up.
up.
It might be. I mean, it seems like a book.
I think it was. I think I heard that.
I mean, I wouldn't be
Yeah.
surprised.
Yeah. Alasdair Gray. Not sure how to pronounce that,
Published
but
in
it was published in
1892.
1992. I think that's going to be worth a read for me.
I kind of want to rewatch the movie, to be honest with you, because I feel like there's something I'm missing that I missed when I watched it.
Oh, it's also illustrated.
So I feel like there's stuff like that's like a movie I feel like I need to rewatch to kind of understand in full perspective, you know?
Yeah.
So one thing that I got that y'all haven't mentioned yet was about Godwin and his character as both being the creator of Bella and also the person who imprisons her, and
Hey, that's your
how
gap.
he is called God, and how lots and lots of people around the world see and feel that about religion as being created, but also stuck in this cycle of I must obey, I must, be along with the commandments and do the things. I must do that, or God will turn away. And that was kind of how Bella was at the beginning, where she was like, she treated Godwin as actual God.
Or how Eve felt in the garden.
Oh God.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah,
I didn't think
because
about that until Liv brought that up. So Liv, you're the greatest.
I always bring up
I mean, I kind of
religion.
got like hints of that the entire time when she kept calling him God, but
Yeah.
oh, that was definitely on purpose.
I really got it when he was like, okay, we're going to write a contract and you're going to stay in the house. I was like, fuck that. No. No, you're not going to imprison this woman just for the sake of a stable experiment.
Well, so he's an inch very interesting character because you think that he has a complete lack of empathy until he starts describing his own childhood. So to him, he thinks that he is like being overly affectionate and way too empathetic. Whereas we see him as like a callous, like asshole.
Yeah, but I think like it comes back to that thing where it's like a bunch of serial killers, a bunch of people that have done bad in their lives, like they had sad childhoods, and yeah, you can be sad for that child, but you can't be sad for that adult. That adult is a full-grown person and knows right from wrong.
But if they were physically tortured for their entire childhood,
That's gonna fuck with your head big time.
That is gonna fuck with your head, but then you should know that that experience, like, then I feel like you wouldn't want to put somebody else in that
See, I don't know. I
position.
don't know. It's the same thing with people that like there's a lot of people that have been molested as children that go on to be child molested.
Yeah, which I just, I
See, so
can't, I
it's
don't get
a
it.
there's a
It is a
there's there's some
cycle.
there's something that happens to the
The
brain when that when that
cyclic nature of humanity.
there's something that happens to your brain when stuff like that happens to you, and it's there's something that causes people to want to do it as well. I don't know. It fucks whatever it does, it fucks people big time. So
Oh yeah, no doubt it does.
I mean
But
it change
when,
it might it changes your it changes your brain probably.
oh yeah, the chemicals change your synapses and the connection between different parts of your brains change, and yeah. I read a study a long time ago. I'm a psychology major, of all who do not know, but it was like children of abuse and their brain developing completely differently than children who are not abused. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something like Lan said, like where it physically changed the brain, which was just kind of insane.
Now, obviously, it doesn't happen to everybody, but I mean,
No.
there's people who have happened to that have been, good people, but
Well,
there's some
so
people who, I guess, I don't know.
nature and nurture.
What about,
y'all keep going. I'm gonna grab some real quick. Y'all good?
Wedderburn, he was an abuser.
Is he Mark Ruffalo?
Yes. Mark
Yeah, that
Ruffalo was an
bitch.
abuser, but by the end of the story, he found himself being abused in the same way that he had treated others.
Yes. So I have a hot take on this. So Mark Ruffalo, I'll wait for land. Hold on. Get your earbuds in, land. Open your damn Corona. So I
I'm
have a
grown
hot take
now. Come on now.
on the evolution of Mark Ruffalo's character.
Ooh, okay.
So he fell in love with a baby,
Yes.
with a mental
I don't think he
child.
knew that. I think he just, like, I think his character thought it was a. I feel like, because he didn't know the whole situation. I think his character thought it was just someone who has never seen the outside of that fucking, inside of that house.
But from the way
He
that
didn't
she
have
was
the whole
talked,
picture, but
from the way that she talked, he would have to know at the very least that she was someone with a
oh,
mental handicap.
mentally handicapped, without a doubt. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And she was a like very attractive person with a severe mental handicap. And he said, yeah, I can swing this.
That was very sexual at the beginning.
Yeah. So, Liv, what were you saying?
So I see it as almost, it's like you start at the beginning of the alphabet and end at the end, and then you make your way into the middle, and then like I don't know how to explain it, but
You lost me.
Bella
That just threw me for a
starts at
loop there.
A. Okay, shut up. Bella starts at A, she ends at B. Baxter or whatever the guy's name is. What is his name?
Wedderburn. Well, that's his
Wedderburn
last
starts
name,
at
but.
B and ends at A. So I believe that Bella was mentally, 3 years old or whatever when they met, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, I don't care, child,
But she was a, I think
underage.
she was going through puberty at that point.
And Mark was a full-grown adult with a brain that had rationale, and he could do those things. By the time this ended, she was at the point where she was the mature person and he devolved into a child like so fast.
Yeah, well, you also got to look at the beginning of the movie where they were tracking like how fast her brain was progressing at the beginning of the movie where he was taking notes on everything. He was like, she's learning 15 words a day and she's
Yeah,
all that
he
other
just
stuff, like her
lost.
hair's growing an inch a day and all that kind of crap.
He lost his love for her, and he lost his ability to
I don't think he ever
think.
lost his love for her.
Yeah, that's debatable.
No, so.
But he lo as he lo lost control of her, that's when he became a baby,
Well,
in
no,
my opinion.
I think he became a baby when the cycle of abuse or got flipped. So he's so used to
Being the
basically,
manipulator, pretty
yeah,
much.
being the manipulator. And then as soon as he starts to feel real feelings, he expects, oh, well, I've been telling women no for my whole life. So the one time that I want to settle down, she's obligated to say yes because I did so much for her. I scooped her out of nowhere. She has to fall in love with me back. And when she
Yeah.
doesn't, he just breaks because
Completely crumbles.
that abuse and manipulation flips where
Yeah.
she's using him just for sex. And he sees something more in it.
Yeah.
Then once she was over that whole sex phase, she was kind of kicked to the curb there.
Yeah.
Like mentally, you're not doing anything for me, so like I can get sex elsewhere.
But what's crazy is at the beginning, she says something about like, oh, the maid says that you look like someone who's been with at least 100 women. And he says, oh, that's underselling it, if anything. And then the first time that she whores herself, he balls.
Yeah, he loses it, yeah.
He says,
That
you
well,
fucked
no.
for money?
No, it was even before that. It was when that she apparently got ate out by some dude in an alleyway when they
Yes,
were in
you're right.
Portugal.
I fucking love that because that, and I bet girls can say this, is the most realistic thing in the world. When a girl tells a man that they have been with somebody else, yes, not, but other women have said this many and many a time, that men get so fucking butthurt when women tell them that they're not virgins.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true. If they're looking at it as like, I want this to be my partner, I want this to be my wife.
But at that point, I don't think Wedderburn thought that way. I think he saw it, like Alfie said, it's a territory thing. He saw her
Yes.
as property, and someone else was trespassing on that property. So therefore, he gets to be upset.
Yeah, he started fighting those dudes in the before any of that even happened.
So I think Mark Ruffalo's character is one of my favorite parts of the movie. But he is like the worst guy ever. Like he is
My
the
most, I started to like, I hated him throughout, but then I drew the line and I dropped the hammer at when he was telling her, stop reading, you know, I
Oh, and
liked
he threw her
you
book away.
better. I liked you better before you were educated, is basically what he was saying. And then I said, oh, okay.
Well, he's like
Nope.
the shittiest version of like rich frat guy. Like, oh my gosh, you can form like real thoughts. How about
How about new?
no?
Yeah.
Let's go back to my place.
Oh, Jesus.
So, anyways, shots.
What? Oh, yeah. Stop, damn it.
Bug
Sorry. Boogie's attacking me over here.
A.
Stop. I feel like he was one of my favorite characters, even though I hated him at the same time. He was, I think he was one of the better, he was one of the better, like he played one of the better roles.
Well, he was
He
a very good foil for Emma Stone.
did that role very well.
I will agree.
Now, as you know, it's a very theatrical, outlandish thing in the way he was acting. I won't mean not necessarily in some cases, but like the way that they like the acting of that movie was very theatrical, which I think that was almost the appeal of it too. You know, like
Well,
they, when you do a movie like that right, they're usually very good, but they're easy to really they're easy to fuck up. Because how many movies like that have you seen that were terrible? Like theatrical kind of style movies, like acting like that were terrible. And this was genuinely, I think I liked it. I mean, I really do.
I think objectively, it's a really good movie. Whether or not I enjoyed it,
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that I don't think they meant for you to like it. I think they meant for you to feel something, you know? Think of something, you know?
Yeah, because
I
I
don't.
it's, it got me wanting to watch it again just to find out because like the entire movie I'm trying to figure it out. Like I wanted like there's something in that movie that would kind of I know there is. It's the same thing when you watch all these other movies a second time. You're like, oh, that fucking makes sense now. You know?
Yeah. So I want to think more about the swap from black and white to color.
I liked it a lot. I loved it. I thought it was a great transition.
Yeah. As soon as she breaks free from her prison, everything goes to color and it's like, oh my gosh. Like,
Very vibrant colors, like it was
yeah.
great.
I don't know,
Now
like.
there was like there were so many scenes in that movie that were beautiful. Like it was like a great like movie. Like it that's what made it, I feel like.
The different camera style, like where it used fisheye a lot.
And no, what was the reasoning for that? Was there a reasoning for that?
So I think the fisheye is supposed to be more of like a voyeuristic film. So like pretend you're looking through a peephole in a door.
See, yeah.
It has that same effect. It makes it seem almost like a peep show.
Was
Kind of.
that makes sense.
At first, when I first saw it, I thought it was something to do with her dad, and her dad had something, or not her dad, but Godwin had something out there watching her the entire time. That's what I thought at the beginning. And then I kind of realized that it was not pretty quick, but
Well, so I think it's supposed to make you feel like it's a private story that you're like peeping in on. And it's supposed to like make you feel separate from the movie. 'Cause like a lot of movies go for you being immersed in it, whereas this one did everything it could for you to be separated from the movie. Like at no point did I feel like I was in the movie.
I was
Right.
watching the movie the whole time.
Yeah, like
It's
it's a
kind of a
very
struggle
like
bus.
you are watching something, not you're experiencing it. Like I think that's what it did for me. Especially the fish eye, that really took me out of it, and I think that was on purpose.
Because it was usually after kind of like scenes where you were kind of like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. And then it would do the fish eye and be like, "Ooh, I feel kind of weird now."
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't know, but like, I feel like this is the kind of movie that we need more.
It almost
Like,
had well, it doesn't. I mean, I got a feeling it's going to have the same impression on me as Babylon did, where I'm going to sit here and fucking think about this movie until I rewatch it again.
I see, I
So,
got some Babylon vibes.
I
Yes,
like
I do too.
Babylon. I'm going to be honest with you. I like Babylon a lot more. But at the same
Babylon was
time,
more fun and exciting.
it's in my top 10. It was one of my favorite movies of the past 2 years.
Agree. So, the director did
I know
an
Josh. I know
interview.
you weren't a big fan of it.
I just think it was overhyped, but
Bullshit. Bullshit.
shut
I
up.
saw it.
Okay,
I
so the
saw it
director.
twice and almost saw it 3 times in theaters.
So the director of this Poor Things film, he did an interview, and I just looked it up, and I can't find the freaking quote that he said, but it was about the point of the film and what people should take away from the film. And he was like, "I don't think there's one solid point that guided my direction throughout the film. It was more so we wanted to put the characters in odd situations and have them be based in strange backgrounds and uncomfortable situations so that the viewer can feel uncomfortable and
I like
feel
that
odd."
though. I do like that.
Yeah. And that was a
I think,
synopsis of his quote.
yeah, no, I think that's what makes me like that movie so much. Like, is because it's meant to make you uncomfortable. You know?
Fairly.
And it's gonna be it may makes you think about what the fuck's going on. Because you know, there's so many like I mean there's so many great I mean there's a, I mean there's so many great movies that have come out recently, but it's just more so of like just stimulating kind of movie. Like this is a movie that makes you You're thinking the entire time throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, the entire 2.5 hours or whatever.
It took me 3.5, but
See, I'm looking at his previous
sorry, my
movies and I don't recognize any of
name some
these.
of them. Name some of
The Lobster,
Yeah, and
2015,
then
never seen.
Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Oh, he directed that.
I
Oh,
think so, yeah.
we all right. This makes so much fucking sense now. Why this movie is so fucking weird? Killing of a Sacred Deer was one of the fucking strangest, like most. It was fucked up. Like it was a movie. After I watched it, I felt like just like terrible. You know those movies where you watch and you're just like, you feel like shit after watching it? Killing of the
Yeah.
Sacred Deer was one of those movies. Oh, me and Jacob
Damn.
Cummings were actually talking about that movie the other day, and because we watched it together, just like, oh, Colin Farrell, there's some good actors that got decent reviews. Fuck no, don't watch that movie. It is it made me so uncomfortable, more so than this movie, much more than this movie.
I don't think I've
See,
seen it.
I'm trying to think of another movie that just makes you feel like shit and feel like make you feel dirty. What's the one that we
Men.
watched?
Men.
No, that's not the one we watched
Oh.
together. But like when we watched a movie together recent, like within the last 2 years, where it
Lighthouse?
Lighthouse kind of, where
That
like it
was
just.
a drag. Me and Josh, it was what, 2 hours? We hit
Yeah.
30 minutes and we were like, is it almost over yet?
It was so
Pretty sure we were
awkward.
both hung over too. Like we were both like sitting there in my living room. And
I think it
we
was
like,
like a Sunday morning,
oh
and we were
yeah.
like, let's watch Lighthouse.
Because we
And
heard it was
then,
good.
I mean, the cinematography was good, but like,
It was just them two in a lighthouse for 2.5 fucking hours.
there's only so much like homoerotic yelling that I can take in black and white on a Sunday morning.
Like the idea of a black and white. Like I do. Like,
Yeah.
but I mean at the same time though, that movie was it was not it for me. I mean, I know there's so many people that love that movie.
I think the acting was great.
I was not
He
one
did
of
The
them.
Northman, hon. He's the same guy that did The Northman.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. I have it on my computer right
Right, how
now.
about this? Next movie I'll
Robert
watch,
Eggers.
watch Killing of a Sacred Deer.
No, that's not the
You.
director, Liv. No, it's not. The direct. Are you talking about of Poor Things?
No, of the lighthouse or whatever y'all are talking
Oh
about.
no, we will no, yeah.
I'm not rewatching The Lighthouse.
Not happening. Not happening. That was the longest movie of my entire life.
Yeah. No, he did direct The Northman. Great
Which makes sense,
movie.
I guess.
I fucking love The Northman. Great
It's a
movie.
great first date movie.
It is a great first date movie.
First date movie, really?
That was our first date movie.
Was it really?
We went and watched The Northman and then went to B-dubs.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell of a date. That's a hell of a date. Come on now.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a date for me, man. I would fucking love that shit. Now, there's a hard chance that the girl's not gonna like it. Now, Liv will like it, but there's a lot of girls that would not like that date.
Am I not a girl, Liv?
No, that's not what I'm saying, but like you would like it back. There's probably a lot of girls have been like, we're gonna go see Northam to go to B Dubs. What the fuck?
I got some boneless wings. I was happy.
Bang it. Bang it. Come on.
And we get to
Anyways,
see
Josh had a
Homeboy.
hell of a first date.
That was epic. Like, honestly, that, like, when I said we should just go watch The Northmen, and Liv, you're like, yeah, okay. I said, oh my God, score. This is huge.
That's awesome.
I can't deal with you.
He all, wait, who did? Oh, I remember, Lynn, the movie that I was thinking about that made me feel icky, but I think it was a really good movie, The Last Duel.
Oh, was that, did we watch that together?
I think so.
I either watched it with you or Jacob Cummings. I can't remember which one, who I watched it with.
I think we watched together.
And we were just like, it was just like a fucking drag. Like, it was just like, oh, we're getting it a fourth time? Great.
Yeah, that was rough. Well, we are completely off topic. I don't actually, I have one more thing to say about this movie, and then I'm done. Emma Stone deserved Best Actress for this movie.
Yeah, she
Oh,
did.
hell yeah.
She did.
This movie, we're still talking about Poor Things, despite our 20-minute transgression. Back to Poor Things.
Mean, technically, we were halfway on subject. We were talking about the director. Yeah.
I think she deserved it purely from the evolution of her character in the acting.
She did great. She did really
Now
great.
she did she nailed every aspect of the character's development.
No, she did fantastic.
The only, I was gonna say, the only critique I had was the beginning. It was a little rough.
Yeah, but it's like hard not to pass that line of like, she's acting like a kid. She's not acting like somebody with a mental
Yeah,
illness. I know
that's
the
fair.
R word was brought up, but like
It was
she's just
hard to not
acting
be
like a kid.
offensive.
Yeah.
Was a little,
But she did great.
she
She did
did great.
wonderful.
She did great.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on
So
her by any
well
means. She
deserved.
did a fantastic job.
Like at first, I was really upset when they announced the Oscar nominees that Margot Robbie was not brought up for
Yeah.
Barbie.
Get out of
For
here.
best actress,
Get out of
but
here.
as of
Was Emily
now,
Blunt not on there? I mean, supporting actress, but
no, she was
still.
on there for supporting actress. I don't know if she won.
Okay.
I don't know who won supporting actress. But I think Emma Stone wholeheartedly deserved it, for this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's Poor Things. Interesting movie.
Very.
Very.
Don't watch it with your parents around.
I paused it right before one of the scenes that got interesting. They knocked on my door right when it was the scene, right when she started at the brothel, but I stopped it right when she was walking through the door, and I was like, "Oh, thank God! Oh, thank God, y'all knocked then." Because if they had knocked it any 2 seconds, they would have seen a fucking millimeter, Peter, and I would not have liked for them to
Deuces, bitches.
that.
I'm out.
Lives out. I'm gonna go ahead and cut the recording. Thank you for listening, if you're listening. If you're not listening, I don't know. Yeah, y'all
Missing
have a
out.
good one,
See ya.
and we'll see you next week.